Can you control the rush on guns? It's the Friday Mixer. State and federal investigators in Nevada are still trying to make sense of what happened in Las Vegas last Sunday. Authorities say a man named Stephen Paddock opened fire from his 32nd floor suite at the Mandalay Bay Hotel on a large crowd attending a country music festival down below. Paddock made use of an arsenal of weapons and technology that allowed them to fire faster, and that rapid gunfire killed 58 people, and police say Paddock then killed himself. It also injured nearly 500 others. Andrew Blankstein is at the investigative unit at NBC News, where he covers cops and courts and Homeland Security. Hi, Andrew.
Good afternoon, Steve.
And Adam Winkler is a professor at UCLA and author of the book Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America. Adam, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Andrew, I'm going to start with you because Stephen Paddock purchased his firearms from a number of states, including from right here in California, which has some of the toughest gun control laws in the country. So then that, of course, makes us ask the question, what does it say about the law's ability to control this issue?
Well, the laws that govern assault weapons really kind of started here. And really, it was after the 1989 Stockton Schoolyard Massacre, which elementary school children were killed by a drifter named Patrick Purdy. That started a number of laws, from the background checks to banning assault guns. But that even evolved, because what ends up happening is that once certain models were banned, then gun manufacturers kind of just changed the models. Then it was about features of those weapons: folding stocks, pistol grips, threaded barrels, high-capacity magazines. Well, what ends up happening is that even some of those features get changed around. But even looking at Mr. Paddock, you see he didn't have a criminal record, and really wasn't anything that would have prohibited him from stockpiling guns.
Adam, this conversation seems all too familiar. This mass shooting again, then calls for gun reform again, calls for people perhaps to quiet down while the mourning goes on, right? They say, oh, it's not a time for that discussion. And then, of course, the political stalemate that comes afterward. What do you think it is about our politics that does not allow for any concrete action?
Well, so first of all, I guess I would disagree that we haven't had any concrete action. If you look to Congress, yeah, you're right, that we haven't seen any significant new gun laws passed, even after the Newtown shooting. But I think the story is different if you turn your focus to the state level. States like California and Washington and Oregon and Colorado and New York and New Jersey, and I could go on, have all made their gun laws more restrictive since Newtown. There's some other states that are going the other way, by the way, that are making their laws more permissive, but anywhere from about a third to a half of Americans live in states that have seen action on guns since Newtown, number one. So I think there is some things that are happening, but two, we should recognize that our politics are really stalemated on so many issues. Washington is very dysfunctional and is not getting anything done on even the issues the Republican majority wants to get a lot of movement on, such as tax reform. It shouldn't be so surprising that on a hot-button issue like guns, we don't see a lot of compromise and movement.
Well, not surprising, but I wonder if a state regulates guns tougher than another state, does the federal government then need to even wade into this debate?
Well, what we really do need are good and effective federal gun control laws. It's true there's been a lot of activity at the state level, and that state level activity is important. At the same time, when California adopts strict laws that are easily undermined by the transport of guns from Arizona, where the laws are loose, or Nevada, where the laws are loose, it really undermines the effectiveness of California's efforts.
How do you explain, Adam, and I'll bring Andrew back into the conversation as well, why gun sales, and this is according to the FBI database, you know, after the San Bernardino mass shooting, 14 people dead at the Inland Regional Center there in the Inland Empire, how do you explain that people go out and buy more guns after a situation like that?
And indeed, we've seen just in the last week gun stores reporting that they're selling out of these bump stocks that previously gun owners didn't even want. I think part of the story is, among gun enthusiasts, is if they're going to ban something, I better buy it now before it gets banned.
These are the bump stocks or the enhancers, right? This made the semi-automatic, what did he have, like an AK-47 type rifle that made it from semi-automatic to more like a fully automatic rifle.
That's right. It pulled the trigger repeatedly at a very, very fast pace. And so it made it simulate the automatic fire that's similar to a machine gun. These devices have traditionally been poo-pooed by gun enthusiasts. They don't like them. They're not particularly fun necessarily to shoot. They make the firearm highly inaccurate. So they haven't been something that have been purchased en masse by the gun community, but now they're selling out. So part of this is the irony of gun control, that when new restrictive laws are passed, gun owners want to go out and buy those devices and guns before they get banned. And we've seen this repeatedly. Assault weapons bans skyrocketed when there was a real prospect for limiting.
And we've seen this now, I mean, throughout the Obama administration. If you look at gun sales, especially for semi-automatic rifles, they go parabolic during the administration because people think there's going to be some kind of a ban. You see it after these huge events, these shootings, mass shootings, Newtown and the like, and no doubt when people start counting here, we're going to see some kind of a bump, even though there had been kind of a trail down during the Trump administration. The fact is that we tend to kind of look at something in a very narrow focus, and if you look over the last number of decades, we're talking even back when I was first a cub reporter at the Los Angeles Times, you're talking, you know, a gun for every man, woman, and child in the United States. And that's only gone up exponentially from there.
I wonder, you know, sadly and horrifically ironic, and you mentioned this, Adam, is these bump stocks, the gun owners, many gun owners don't like them. They don't like using them because it deems the gun sort of out of control, right? That they're not able to aim accurately. But that's indeed, I don't think Stephen Paddock, to my knowledge, cared about accuracy. He was just firing at will into the crowd.
That's right, and that's what one of the things that makes this mass shooting unusual for mass shootings. There have been some like that, but we've never seen someone willing to use one of these devices that makes their firearm sort of like a machine gun to slaughter a lot of people. Part of that is a story, by the way, of gun control and its success. We have done a very good job controlling machine guns in this country. There's very few of them out there. It is very difficult to own one. You need to get a federal license and pay a special tax and go through a special background check. There once was a time where machine gun crime was pretty commonplace. But because of a real determined effort to go against these automatic fire weapons, they're now almost never used in criminal activity. So it is a story of success that we don't see more of these kinds of guns being used.
I wonder if I should have both of you back in 6 months, and let's talk about what has changed since the Las Vegas shootings. Do you think anything will have changed?
I think a law enforcement source put it best this week when they said, you know, you'll be calling me at the next one. Sadly, I'm a positive person. I've covered a lot of crime, you know, over decades, but the acceleration that I've seen in these kind of incidents really is disturbing.
This is a public health problem. Are there going to be more mass shootings? Unfortunately, probably. Are there going to be more criminal homicides with firearms? Yes. Are there going to be more suicides? 275 people a day are wounded by gunshots. The guns aren't going anywhere. And so, yeah, we are going to be talking about that in 6 months. What we should be doing is, in the same way we try to reduce the incidence of drunk driving, reduce the incidence of mass shooting, reduce the incidence of criminal homicide, reduce the incidence of suicide. That's all we can realistically hope to do. If we got together every time there was a car accident and said, do you think in 6 months we'll be talking again? The answer would obviously be yes. You can't eliminate car accidents, and you're not going to eliminate criminal violence, unfortunately.
Adam Winkler over at UCLA, Andrew Blankstein with NBC News. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.